This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our conversation with 95-year-old Don Stoutenborough of Laguna Woods, California. He flew 76 missions in P-38 Lightnings with the 95th Squadron of the 82nd Fighter Group in two separate tours of duty in Italy. He came home after 50 missions but was hungry for more. His squadron was credited with destroying 400 enemy aircraft, including 199 air-to-air victories. Two of those 199 belonged to Don, one on October 8th of 1943, another 3 months later on January 14th, 1944. Eventually, we're going to hear some of his mixed emotions about those, but how about the emotions that flow when you find out a fellow pilot did not bring his P-38 back from a mission?
It hurt. It really hurt when you lost a guy because you knew him. It hurt to be in somebody's bed that he just died and they put you in his bed, which they did.
Yeah.
One time, when I first came over and I finally get there, I'm put in a dead man's bed, and oh, he played bridge much better than you are, Stout. You know, you're not as funny as Raglan is, you know. I'm sorry, but he was funny. So my tent mates were giving me a bad time sleeping in the bed of a guy who had been shot down. I didn't find that very funny. I thought that was crude.
Well, and doesn't it occur to you at some point that that might happen to you?
I guess it really, what am I going to say? I didn't have any fear of that somehow. Of course, it had to occur to me. We had a mission once that scared the hell out of me. We were going to attack some boats way up in the top of Italy, and it was a dangerous mission. We flew our thing in, and they had guns on both sides firing at us as we were coming in to do the killing of these boats. And I saw bullets coming. That really scared me because you could see the bullets coming by you, the tracers. We knew where those bullets were coming from. And so that was kind of, let's get out of this situation.
So as you're diving for these boats, you're seeing fire come from both directions across,
yep,
in front of your nose.
Perfectly. We were just suckers, you see.
And I'm sure there had to be some times where you brought that P-38 in with a few holes in it.
Oh, yeah. But the thing was it was like a bull. You know, we couldn't stop that. It was, you see pictures of them coming home with the damage. Actually, an engine, there's one picture in one of these books here, torn out from the plane, gone. The engine's gone. It got a hole where there's one gone. The engine's gone. It got a hole where there's one engine was. And he lands it. He brings it home on one engine. It was a very rugged plane.
And what about those 76 missions for you? Were there some where you didn't think you were going to make it back?
I don't know that I ever had that I'm not going to make it. I suppose it was there, but I tell you, I was having so much fun. It's not hubris I'm talking about here now. It's just the fact that I always wanted to fly. Mm-hmm. This plane was the magnificent plane to fly. And you talk to people, and they say, you fly a P-38? You know, I said, yep, get one. You're never going to be sorry for this one. They go fast, they go clean, and they take bullets. You could come home with one engine shot out and so forth.
I'm looking over there, and there's a medal there called the Purple Heart, and they usually don't hand those out unless something happens to you. So where'd that come from?
The doctor gives it to me in the hospital because I've been burned. I said, I'm not in combat at this. I was leading the group. Are you ready? This was on my second tour, and so I'm a big shot, so I get to lead the group. Fine. That didn't mean anything. It just meant you were the first plane. You knew, you talked to the bombers, you know. My plane, we don't know. My first engine goes out, right engine goes out. We're up over enemy territory, but not very far. We haven't even got our altitude, and we're about at Venice, and that engine goes out, period. It's dead. I feather it, and I give Walker. He was the leader of the 92nd. I'm the 95th. And so I call him, say, I have to go home, so take over. Well, it didn't mean anything. It didn't change anything. He was still going to meet the bombers at the same place, and he knew what to do. I start home. We were at some altitude, but not very much. I'm spoken of as just having taken off in the books. Like, my accident was because I didn't get to the target. It says, you know, just at takeoff or something.
But you're telling me you were actually over enemy territory.
Yes, yes, I'm there.
Right.
But it's not much. Remember, they still have part of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
We flew up the Adriatic. We didn't fly over the ground. You go up the Adriatic. Nobody shoots you from there. If you come home, come down Adriatic, you see. Don't go across. But I got one engine, and I don't want to go into the water. So I'm over their land and then our land.
So the rest of the P-38s are going on to meet the bombers to rendezvous, but you have to turn around and come back by yourself, no other planes.
That's right.
On one engine.
On one engine.
And you don't want to go over the water because you don't want to take that chance.
Exactly.
So you're coming in over the land, and some of that's German held, and you're hoping to make it back to your base.
Exactly.
All right.
That's exactly the situation.
So what happened?
Well, my other engine. Now, come on. You lose two engines. No, they don't. But why in the hell did this one start coughing? Well, I'm thinking about jumping very quickly now, just when it starts coughing. Because if you got one engine gone and this one is... I can't figure out why, what's going on. Nobody's shooting at me that I know about. You know, I'm over land and I think I'm past the line. I'm in safe territory. I'm in our territory. I thought, I didn't know precisely, but the line was not very far from where I landed. Anyway, that engine went out on me and it sunk like a rock. I could not believe without an engine what that plane did. It was just ball. It weighs 7 tons, you know.
So you're coming down in a hurry.
I'm coming down in a hurry, and I don't have time. I don't have time to go jump out. I was still thinking about the bar in the back. But I knew people had jumped out, and I knew what to do. Turn the plane over and just fall out.
Because if you don't do that, the plane itself is going to kill you.
Exactly.
If you don't invert the P-38 and drop out, the plane's movement is going to force you into the fork between the tails and your gonzo.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So you knew how to bail out, but you didn't think you had time.
No, I did not have time because I was ready for there was an airfield up there. I knew I was in our territory because I knew that airfield. I couldn't make it. I knew where it was, but I couldn't make it. I was losing altitude, and I didn't want to jump. I really didn't. Something would make that engine go, you know. It didn't. It wouldn't.
But you're hoping that as you pick up speed and dropping altitude that maybe that engine would kick back in.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
But that didn't happen.
That did not happen. The thing you sat in was you couldn't break it, anything there. That was too strong. The plane could be collapsing on you, and you're in your little gondola, and you're safe. And you crash landed, and you'll survive in that plane, no problem.
And that's what happened? And
that's precisely what happened. Right next door to a hospital. I saw that cross. I went coming down, and I thought, my God, don't hit the hospital, Stoutenborough. I landed in an olive grove beside the hospital. I got out of the plane. I was carrying my parachute, and you look very funny, trying to run away from a plane that was beginning to explode because I come down in this olive grove. You can't imagine the sound. I never heard sounds like this in my life, or such a cacophony of, that's almost driving me crazy, that sound, you know. But I'm safe. I'm safe in this thing, and I was.
So the sound you hear is your wings coming down through the limbs of these olive trees.
That's right.
And in a sense, they broke your fall or slowed you down? Brought you to a stop?
Yeah. I was like, I had to experience already the dropout when that engine was not producing it at all. And this one's gone, and this one is not. It's going, but it's not. You're losing altitude immediately, you know.
So you're tearing through the olive trees, and there had to be some significant impact, I'm thinking. You had to feel something when you brought that bird in.
Yeah, I don't recall feeling anything because I was just strapped in.
It wasn't bumpy?
Bumpy. Oh, bumpy, sure. Yeah, it was bumpy and rough, but noisy. It was so noisy you couldn't think, you know.
Uh-huh.
I had to land it. Don't try to turn or do anything. Just get this thing on the ground straight out. And that's what I did. And it began to explode all before I was could get out of the cockpit. No problem getting out of the cockpit. Do it like this, but take off your parachute before you're trying to run away from a plane that's exploding. So I get over behind an olive tree, put my back to the explosion, and here comes the ambulance. The ambulance, no, from the, well, here it is, the hospital. It takes us like 90 seconds to get from where I am to it in the hospital, to get help immediately. I had to take my goggles up so that I could see, because there was smoke in the cockpit and flames already. Well, the minute I got down there, there were flames. And, of course, that burned me.
You mean on your way down? You couldn't see because it's already smoking up, and so you had to take the goggles off to see where you were going.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly, yes.
So then when you hit and it starts burning, your face got burned.
Yeah.
So how bad was that? What was the extent?
Oh, they go 1, 2, 3, first, second, and third burns. And you could tell where you got your goggles up, but you still have this part of your face. And so you had... the whole face was kind of seared, but this was burned up here. But they had me, in a stretcher and in a doctor's office within minutes.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't put this in your script, Stoutenboro, because this doesn't make sense. This doesn't happen this way. You don't land beside a hospital.
What you're saying is you were very fortunate to survive.
Oh, yeah. I could be where. Could never get help for a long time. And so whatever the burn was, you'd still be able to see it. You still can see it without attention that they would be. Today, it would probably look very, very rude up there. You know, it brought me to my senses, but I just had all the faith in the world in that plane. And there we were. The plane just exploded, and I got rid of my tanks, of course. See, we were going up with belly tanks, but I got rid of those. If I'd landed with those belly tanks, of course, I wouldn't be here, probably.
That explosion would have been a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
It would have consumed you, probably.
Yeah. But I really wasn't in combat. I told the doctor, he says, oh, get off.
So you tried to turn down the Purple Heart because hadn't finished the mission and actually done your assignment.
That is true.
So how long were you in the hospital?
Oh, goodness. Long time. 2 months. They very, very carefully took care of me. Of course, penicillin every 6 hours.
And by this time you were married?
Yeah. I had my 50 missions, and my wife, I says, well, do you want to get married now, or do you want to wait till I finish going? Because I want to get to the Pacific. Well, let's get married now. So we did. We had a military wedding, you know, and then I went back. I thought I was going to the South Pacific, but no, they're sending me to Miami on a train. It doesn't sound like South Pacific. And that time I had a ride over in a plane from Natal to Dakar.
Well, and I bring up Phyllis because I'm just wondering. I mean, you have this extremely close call with this crash landing and an exploding plane, and now you have a wife to be concerned about that you're hoping to get home to, and maybe even in that hospital bed wondering, what's she going to think when she sees me like this?
Precisely. No, I thought I'd be messed up. So I wrote her a letter. Of course, I wrote her a letter blind because they had me blindfolded.
So they've got bandages over your face and you can't see the paper, but you wrote her a letter anyway?
That's right. And of course, I have a ruler that I'm supposed to get this. Well, it turns out I've got a fan here because I'm pulling the ruler down and writing up to where the tails on words or letters don't know.
So you're saying when she got it, she had to keep rotating the page to be able to read it.
Well, that's true. Yeah. No, you could read it if you just put your head around, you know. I was making it like a fan. I wasn't moving the whole ruler up there. So it's hilarious. I'm telling her things that I'm in the hospital and I got boogered up and I don't know what I'm going to look like, you know, but I love you and I'll probably be home soon.
Well, and I can't imagine it was very encouraging for her to see that letter if you can't even write straight. She's wondering what's going on with you.
Right. Oh, she could figure out what I'm... Yeah, right.
And I can tell that, you know, you enjoy laughter and you're pretty lighthearted about all this, but that's a serious situation. You just almost died and almost left her a widow. What did you think about in the hospital for those months as you're waiting to hopefully go home and see her again?
Oh, what are they going to have for dinner? It was a great hospital in Bari.
Bari, Italy.
Bari, yeah. Italy.
Uh-huh.
Fine hospital. They wanted to fix my teeth, you know. I'm in the burn ward. I'm not serious, but some of those guys were. One guy was having his arm grow skin. He had, I don't know how to explain it, but he had to grow skin that they could use.
Right.
So he was there for a long, to graft it. That's
uh-huh.
right.
Yeah.
He was there for a long time. But no, there was no pain. It was just uncomfortable, and I didn't know precisely how it would turn out. I just didn't want to be thought to be scared by the crash, because it didn't bother me. I saw people that were hurt, you know, ooh, in that hospital. God, I wasn't hurt.
Perspective is a powerful thing, isn't it? And after hearing the story of that crash landing, its proximity to the hospital, and overall what a close call that really was, I'm pretty sure there are some sons and grandchildren, five of those, two great-grandchildren that are oh so thankful that Dawn Stoutenborough made it out alive. It's break time again, but don't forget to check out the captivating photos by Zach Coco of Pictures for Heroes. I have them up for you at hometownheroesradio.com, where you'll also find a photo of Dawn with the revolutionary heart valve that has changed his life. And speaking of images, it was the moving variety film of an important World War II moment that he didn't even know he was carrying in his P-38 toward the end of the war in Europe. Who were those film canisters destined for? And why did Don find himself in hot water? He'll explain that to us when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this.